Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pennies and Pallors on June 18th on Apple TV Plus. There are the first 3 episodes of my show Physical will be available for you to check out. So please do that. And if you enjoy it, please tell as many people as you can. It stars Rose Byrne and it's set in the early 80s and it centers around independence and insecurity. And it's the 80s. There's cocaine, folks. That alone is fun enough. So if you have the time and you can tune in, please do. And if you have even more time to tell people about it, you would be doing me a huge, huge favor. And I promise I will pay you back all individually in the future. Thanks so much.
Pennies, Pallors, if you're listening to this first thing in the morning, the day that it drops, I think it's June 9th. I hope so. Otherwise, this won't make much sense at all. Today, I am announcing my tour. Yeah, we're starting August 11th in Chicago, Illinois. Everything else you can find out this afternoon. That's if you're listening in the morning. I know it's very specific, but just bear with me. I'm going to be telling you a whole bunch of other cities I'm coming to, when I'm coming to them, where you can get tickets. And if you're listening to this after the day that it drops, where have you been? Come on, get on this tip. Go to danielvankirk.com so that you can see where I'm coming. Chances are I'm coming somewhere near you, and I hope we will hang in person. It's a tour. And that's all I'm going to say until I make the announcement, in which case I already did. Go back and check it out on Instagram. Bye.
If you want to be my friend,
I do.
You had better go and get a pen.
I will.
Good. And maybe we could keep in touch.
We shall.
Like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
It wasn't.
Oh, and I wish you well.
Same to you.
Your pen pal.
Did he have a response for the last one?
I don't think he does say pen pals. I think he's assigned your pen pal.
That's when you're going to answer this question?
I held out. I just didn't know.
I think he says pen pal too.
No S.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But I think that's right.
But I think if he was going to create that song today, it would have an S. Because remember, he created it before we started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because for all he knew, we would sign off as the person who read the letter. Like, we wouldn't say, sincerely, Daniel Van Kirk and Rory Van Scovel. We would say, sincerely, whoever read it.
Yeah.
So he didn't know.
He didn't know.
Like, the S
we
could live
know.
In... We didn't know. The S
we
could live know. In your heart.
Also, it's been 3 years. We didn't even notice the S wasn't there till, what, a month ago when you asked?
Yeah. When I was in Rochelle. 3 or 4.
It's Richelli.
Don't you dare.
I was in Richelli, Illinois.
Hey, What?
Should I move to Chicago?
Have you thought about it?
Muser says yes.
Of course he does. Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I texted him.
Well, you were like, I don't want to wait.
I said, should I move there? And he's like, hurry the fuck up. And that's his voice. That's a pretty good impression.
You would not like it.
Of course I wouldn't. It would be freezing. Even in the summertime, I'd be like, it's just too cold here. This Southern California weather changes you. It changes you.
I know you. I think Chicago's a really good visit city for you.
Yeah, I love Chicago.
But I think that's kind of where it stops.
I think that's with a lot of places. But California, let's be honest, is just so expensive.
No, it's fine.
It is so expensive.
It's fine.
This is what it does to people.
Talking to somebody who's like out of touch with money.
That's a no joke, and in a non-joking way, that's how I used to be about traffic in LA. I'm like, it's fine. And I was not joking.
Really?
And then I got to a point where I was like, I got to stop. I guess you got to open my eyes. Like, I think I was like, I'm here. I have to be here. I'm working here. Mm-hmm. Don't give in to the things that, and then it ate away at me. And I was like, now I can't shut up. It's awful. It's awful all the time. And
it was
so
really
expensive.
Good during a pandemic.
God, it was the best. You could get everywhere.
Everywhere.
We go to the beach. Sometimes I forget we're even at a beach. I forget there's an ocean right there because I'd never go down there. I just never go to the beach.
I love when people are like, move to so-and-so. You're only 45 minutes from the beach. I'm like, I'm in LA and I'm 45 minutes from the beach.
Yeah. LA, for anyone who's curious, LA is so many neighborhoods, obviously, like all cities. But like Santa Monica, in a normal, like, non-LA traffic kind of way, is like a 20-minute drive. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, it is an hour. Mm-hmm. So what that means is you don't ever see friends who live in Santa Monica. Like, comics, I see more comics from LA on the road than I do see them in LA. Like, and that's honestly an easier way to see them.
You don't feel like you see Jay Larson as much?
I see Jay Larson a bunch because we play golf and, do other stuff. But there's a lot of comics that I see more crossing paths out on the streets. You know what I mean? Slinging jokes.
You are out on the streets.
I'm on the streets slinging jokes. Folks, we got a great show for you today. You're listening to Pen Pals with Daniel Vanuel Canyon and Maurice Gaynor Daniel. Let's go.
Hey, if you want to wish people well in your life, get some merch, DanielVanKirk.com. All right, ready? I double tapped it.
Oh, fuck.
Ready?
Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
And let's go to the letters.
Remember when you used to do it by phone?
Yeah. Yeah. Meow. Meow.
Okay,
meow.
Ready?
Meow. Meow.
I'm going to go first, all right?
Meow.
Hi, Daniel and Rory. So at least you know they get it. I went to my primary this morning and while waiting, overheard another patient talking to a nurse.
Wait, do people just say primary and you're supposed to just know that means primary care physician? The PCP.
That's what I usually say.
PCP, dude.
Dude, you down with PCP?
I'm primary on PCP. Care physician. I'm currently on it and that's why I have to go see my PCP.
A lot of my life was spent mixing up PVC and PCP.
And you can admit that now and that's why you're better for it.
Like and I PVC pipe, I knew I would always get wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm not even 100% sure I'm doing it right now, but you would have corrected me by now as a friend and a comic. It's PVC.
It's PVT, but I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Sorry, can I ask you a side question before I go back to this letter?
Always.
You ever make a potato gun?
No.
Never?
I've used one. I've never made one. Used a very powerful one.
Was it a twist, like a little knob that ignited the...
Little button.
Hairspray?
Button.
Ooh.
Little button on top. I mean, this thing was a cannon.
Doom.
Dangerous.
That's the sound, right?
That's exactly right.
Doom.
Which is the same as like a grenade launcher, I think.
Yeah. Little 302.
Little 302
round. Wait, did you... Golf balls or were you doing potatoes?
Potatoes.
Yeah.
Ooh, golf balls. That's wrong.
I feel like...
It was fun.
Do you think they're gone? Do you think
potato guns?
No, Y2K. Yeah. Do you think Y2K killed potato guns?
Maybe.
When's
that?
Why
would that have been the year though?
Just because that seems like it. No, yeah. It just feels like around that time.
Because then the internet was there. It's like people are inside now.
Don't you think
remember your first like AOL chat room
never,
where you were like,
nope,
you can
really
do
it.
Anything.
Never
in
really
here.
Did it. I remember the first time I found porn on the internet.
It's why I'm not surprised about how mean everybody is. Because when people are like, ugh, Twitter and all these things, people have been disgustingly awful the whole time. And yeah. AOL chat rooms proves that.
Well,
yes, you had people going, oh my God, I can talk to someone in Kansas.
This is, oh my God, I can't believe you said Kansas. Do you know why?
Because it's our favorite band.
And maybe I'm just some dust in the wind here. But the very first internet, right,
mm-hmm.
was Wizard of Oz.
Wait, what do you mean?
He could talk to people from behind a cloak and he was mean.
And he was just a shithead.
And he was a shithead.
The anonymity.
Yes.
You're right. That was the 30s. That was the 30s.
And he was the first, like, oh, I'll talk to you from behind this thing and you won't know who I am.
Yeah.
That's what internet chatting and, like, trolling is.
Yeah.
And he was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But as soon as that Toto pulled back that curtain, he was Mr. Nice Guy handing out fake-ass gifts to people.
That's exactly right. God. And that's the world we live in.
But yeah, I think it is primary care physician. I went to my primary this morning and while waiting, overheard another patient talking to a nurse. This one looks more liquidy, the nurse said. This made me think that someone should start a Things Overheard at the Doctor's Office Instagram account. Later, I was listening to the latest Pen Pals pod and Daniel's airplane story. I have no recollection of telling an airplane story.
We don't have any recollection of if we've even already done this letter.
Seemed like another great Instagram account. What airplane story did I tell?
You think I'm going to know? I don't know my own things.
Oh, I bet it was people who look straight forward and then... And then you say, like, watch people's movies that you've overseen or never wanted
to. Oh, yeah.
The last letter from the episode reminded me of my first date with my common-law wife. We had been chatting on a dating site, Pen Pals, if you will.
What does common-law wife mean? That you
live together for 7 years.
And so you're by default.
Yeah, but you're not trying to go to Jesus together.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
We had been chatting on a dating site, Pen Pals, if you will, for a couple of months, but hadn't connected for a real date. We had tried one time, but both of us had to cancel. Needless to say, I was hella nervous. We met on a walking path near where she lived and walked and talked for about an hour and then decided to go for a drink or two. We had a good time, but since I had struck out on a few dates before, I didn't know how she felt. Now, Daniel would have kicked my ass for handling it the way I had planned to end the night, but luckily, my date took matters into her own hands. I was ready to shake her hand. I know. But she kissed me and it was amazing. She went up to her apartment and we texted each other that we wished I would have come with her, but it being a first date and all, ..
Profesh. Real profesh move there.
This was the first woman I had more than one date with since getting out of a 10-year relationship, so I was a little out of practice and with the, quote, help of some friends, questioned her motives. Luckily for me, it worked out. This was 5 years ago and this woman has saved my life, y'all. I have gone from 285 plus pounds to 198 because she started the keto diet and I wanted to support her. We still struggle with communicating. I'm more of an F2F where she's more of a text to text, but it does seem like the direct approach works better. Oh, by the way, we have a beautiful, almost 4-year-old daughter too. Anyway, I feel like that's enough for one letter, but thanks for reading and I'll keep hoping one day to make the pod or at least get a reply. Love you guys. Your pencil pod slash pencil bud.
Pen pod slash pencil bud.
Yeah, there you go. Brandon, sent from iPhone.
Ding, 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 ding.
Thank you, Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you what.
What?
I like just thinking about being in a 10-year relationship and then going back to dating.
Mm-hmm.
Now in the world of stand-up, if that's me.
Yeah.
I'm so out of practice of hiding who I really am for at least 2 years.
That is the stand-up call.
But then the real me knows it's more of a 3 to 4 year endeavor.
Right.
But no audience would believe 3 to 4, so you got to keep it at 2.
Rory, though, really think about that. You have to go back into hoping someone likes the surface of what you're giving, that the water looks good enough to boat on.
I love, first off, phrase of the year.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
# water looks good enough to boat on. Is that the longest one? I don't know. Shanley, decide.
That's not even close to the longest
Shan one. Shanman, coming at you. By the way, I think Shanley's going to come to my shows in Madison. You know how far away that is?
You might want to look into that.
I'm gonna avoid him.
That's how he drives all that way, and I act like I don't know him.
Hey, man, give him a real quick pat.
Oh, thanks, bud.
Yeah,
and I just did leave it at that. Hey, thanks, bud. Thanks for coming.
You should
walk off. He's like, fuck you.
You should air a grievance with him on stage.
Yeah,
but don't.
And he'll know. Like, well,
I'm okay with
there.
Him knowing it, but like, because what matters is no one else knows it.
Should set it up to where he like yells something back, and
no, he just quietly gets up and leaves,
crying.
Yes. Wait, that's October?
A guy I went to high school with is here, and I think he wants to get drinks afterwards, but I never liked him, and I still don't. And then just tell him, and when I get to the end of that, just get up upset and just walk out.
You can't help who comes to your shows, guys.
And I'll try to have the sound guy ready with like a sad exit song.
Yeah.
As he goes to leave.
He ain't heavy. He's my brother.
And then try to tell everyone, like, God, don't feel bad for him.
The road is long.
He's weird. He's weird.
They're like, why is he weird? I don't know. He doesn't like what I like.
That's October, right?
That's October.
Okay.
Could you imagine, like...
I asked you if you could imagine first.
I guess it's more for me. I've been in 17 years? Ugh, good. Has it been 17 years? It's been a long time.
True question, though. Do you think comedy...
16 years.
Do you think comedy kind of prepares you for dating anyway? Aren't you dating every audience?
Sort of.
I mean, they do kind of know you a little bit, but so does somebody that you've chatted for months with on Tinder or whatever it is.
I know that we always... You're right. I wonder, we always talk about, at least for me, and I don't know how close you are to this, but like I've never had any of the dating apps.
Neither,
because of that, I don't know if I have the same opinion other people have where I think it's awesome and probably so convenient, but I've never had to use it.
I think it's horrible.
Exactly. I've never used it, so I don't know.
I haven't either, but I assume it's
garbage. I just feel like it's people going, I kind of want to hook up, and then you just kind of can. But is that not the case?
I kind of want to meet someone good, but then I don't really think I want to actually meet.
Yeah.
I'll give it to both of us, even though it was totally mine.
What?
Our idea of pleasantries. It was like a 7-second.
No, that is yours.
Yeah, but it's born out of this.
Right,
but you would have a legal stake. Like if you took me to court,
and I wouldn't even push the issue.
But you would have a legal stake,
or maybe I would push the issue just for like have something to do. If it's in a town I'm playing,
but pleasantries. Remember, it was like 10 seconds or yes. 5 or whatever. You could be like,
and I think it's great because nice you can read a vibe.
Yes, yeah. Same as a bar. And then you have 2 weeks to meet in person and the you get deleted off each other's app.
Here's what I want to know, and you and I won't be able to answer this from experience. So Let's just hypothetically wonder.
Okay.
You're in a relationship for 10 years.
Yeah.
That ends and you go back to dating. The instinct is like, I don't even remember how to do it.
Right.
However, you have been with someone for 10 years. You've probably learned more about yourself. You've learned more about what it takes to be in a relationship.
What deal breakers are.
Yeah. Well, you've also learned like, oh, this is, you know, I was at least in this relationship, at least in this case, with this woman. Mm-hmm. So do you think you actually, when you go, oh, I'm scared to go back out and dating, do you think you maybe would, there's a potential that you might be better at it because you've grown? Not like, oh, I'll be bad at it because I haven't been doing it. Yeah, but maybe you'll be better at it because you've been learning it. You've actually been in practice of what a relationship is.
Third or fourth date on, you'd be better because you know exactly where you're like, oh, I don't like that. That isn't going to work for me. But the first and second date, I think, would be nerve-wracking.
I think this is where my instinct for the joke I said comes from.
Yeah.
Because I think my first thought was, oh, I wonder if you'd be better at it because you wouldn't be aware that you maybe need to bullshit to impress this other person.
But
whereas after a 10-year relationship, though, you might be in that space where you go, I actually already know from experience this goes way better if I'm just flat out just telling you straight up who I am and what I think and what I want. And then
you scare
maybe
the shit
it's
out
better.
Of the person.
Maybe, but also there's people who they're going to relationships who want that too. Let's say this person is in, you know, of a certain age. I think people of a certain age, I think that's what they look for. They're like, hey, I'm not here to fuck around. Like, tell me what you're thinking because maybe we're a good match, but also maybe we're not. And we can know earlier and not waste all this time of like playing a game. I think my assumption is that if you went back out into the world, the games are over because you're not interested in them anymore. In your 20s, those might be fun. Those are still like kind of fun games, this flirty kind of thing. And I'm not saying people don't want the flirty romanticism. But I think people go, you know what? It's weird, but I'm actually 40 now and I'm wildly turned on by just the honesty straight up. Like if you said right now, like, I actually don't like that restaurant. I know it's your favorite. I don't like it for these reasons. I feel like there's some people as you become an adult, you're like, fuck, that's sexy. It's sexy. You just straight up didn't care if I...
I think you're right.
You know
I,
what I mean?
I think there's probably... It's 50-50. I bet there's as equal as many people be like, whoa, dude. Like, I think there's people who would be like, if you mentioned you had been in a 10-year relationship, they'd be like, I like that. And there is equal as many people who'd be like, 10 years, I'm just steering clear of this person.
There's, maybe.
I don't... But that right there, to me, at least on my end, that question of which, I think would drive... somebody not, that's why they talk because here
also, I have another question for you now though.
Okay,
do you think a person, let's just say 40,
sure,
this guy was 30,
yeah,
gets into a relationship for 10 years, uh-huh, gets out of it at 40, mm-hmm, is going back on dating, mm-hmm, is he going to be better at dating, even though there's no right or wrong to this, than the person who was never in a 10-year relationship but has been dating this whole time?
Yes.
Does he, has he grown better in a different way? Not in a better way, but has he grown in a different way to where his communication maybe is different with that going back into dating?
I don't know, because some people would say, well, he's probably conditioned to whatever that other relationship is. So if that conditioning is bad.
Great point. Very good point. That's if the communication is bad. However, 10 years, wouldn't you assume 10 years, at least a majority of that, the communication had to be pretty decent? 10 years is a long time.
I don't know. You don't think people have been together for 10 years and should have broken up after 3?
Dude, people have been together for 40 years and they should have divorced after 5.
Yeah.
But don't you assume that 10, you're like,
well, we don't know how it ended.
If 8 years of it was bad, it's like, well, then you guys are lunatics. You could have gotten out at 2 years in.
And now you're dating and you were a lunatic for the last 8 years.
I don't think that's the case.
Well, I don't either. But I will say the success of this relationship flies in the face of so many things I would do.
Yeah.
Talking for months without seeing each other. I'm out.
Wait, who? What was that? Did I miss that?
We'd been chatting on a dating site for a couple of months.
Oh, yeah. But I hadn't connected for a real date.
Months. I'm like, fuck this. This flies. This is what I love. This is why everybody, every lid has a pot.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't.
Every lid has a pot.
Yeah.
You are. What are you coming? Are you a grandmother now? Where are you coming from today?
I did talk to Rosemary last night.
Where were you just at?
I talked to Rosemary last night.
Did you Zoom dinner together? Best. And she's throwing all these at you.
She's the best.
Well, man, you can't pick a rose without a... Like, I can't even make one up. I don't even know what a good phrase would be.
Just remember, no matter how beautiful
the quilt...
What
are those called? Euphemisms?
It doesn't know the needle.
Is that a euphemism?
Huh?
Is that what that is?
I don't even know.
What's a euphemism?
I think it's something that the youth do.
Euphemisms? Euphemisms.
I know.
You know what? That's a euphemism. Do you mean euphemism? No. I just mean people under 20.
Would they say
a phrase that's
like, if they say that's cap, that's a euphemism.
That's a euphemism. And that's not for me.
If you see him doing this, that's a euphemism. So many people think that this means drugs.
And it should.
It doesn't.
It means steal second. I know.
No, it doesn't.
Hashtag
steal second.
Hashtag euphemisms.
I'm going to let our audience just figure out what we're doing. If based off of drugs and steal second, do they know what mannerism I'm doing?
Looking for some H.
It is not what it means.
What does it mean? What does it mean?
Ice in your veins.
Oh.
It's, I think it's Damian Lillard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Three-pointer.
Yeah. Okay, so... But now everybody does. It's like how Let's Go became so much more than, are you ready? Let's
Have
go.
You and I talked about this?
Let's Go?
I just said it the other day on the golf course. I said, can we stop with no. the Let's Go? It can becomes, we stop it?
And the weird thing is you say it after you're done.
Yes.
Like when you just you've hit the gone. Perfect shot.
You've already gone.
Or you've just won the game, you yell, let's go. To it's the locker late. Room, the yeah. game's over.
The
Where
game
do you
is over.
Go?
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
I don't know.
Could you imagine we had
it's
our
overdone.
We had our great bocce ball tournament of 2018. Could you imagine if I yelled "Let's go"? People would have been like, "Where, dude?
To
We're
where?
At this beautiful place
to where?
In Hillsburg, relax."
They're mad. To where, to Daniel? Where? To where?
Here's the other thing.
Yeah,
flies in the face. So 2 months, I'm out. This is why every relationship's beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lids and pots. Because I'm out. First date, walking path. Are you just going to the place where you're going to get murdered? We've never met. Let's go to this walking path, but still worked for them. And then a handshake to close out the date.
I like it.
I'd like it too, because it all worked. It shows that like whatever, like everything, take what I say, take what Rory says with a grain of salt. We've been saying that since day one.
Yeah.
This is just the way we feel. If you feel the same way.
But this is what I'm talking about.
If you don't feel the same way, that's okay.
This is what I'm talking about. Brandon is coming out of a 10-year relationship. 10. When that date ends, he's like, that was fun. And there's something that I'm like, yeah, because he's been in a 10-year relationship. He's like, hey, don't get me wrong. I'd love to make out. Sounds like it'd be a lot of fun. But hey, tonight was good. First date, come on. Also in such a mature way, like, first date, come on. What are we talking about?
And like, but that's why I also...
And then leaves.
Here's where I might turn the corner for people. Love that he didn't go up to her place. Because then it's done. Then you built this all up and it's all done in one. No. The idea of what you could have done is way better than what would have happened.
Let it simmer.
And if you get to hang out on another walking path, you can end up in the bed later anyway.
You want to know when people go up, if it's the first date and you actually are looking for a relationship and you go up to hook up on the first date, you turn the heat on with the water in the pot and you just put the pasta in before it's even boiling.
I disagree.
I don't even know where I came up with that, but it feels right.
It was good, though.
this will boil at some point.
Here's what you're trying to say. Ready? Look, don't cook your pasta before the water's boiling.
Thank God you're on today.
I know.
Why am I not taking your grandmother's master class? She keeps sending me the discount code, and I keep deleting it.
I didn't want to bring it up. But
how did she get my email?
I gave it to her.
I said, don't give that out.
And then the other thing I love, this is the last thing I'll say about this letter. This, what a pro tip baked into this man's life that he doesn't even know. In my little fucking weird narrative mind world, which we've talked about how brains work a couple of episodes ago.
All of them.
He's 285 plus. Mm-hmm. She wants him to be healthy and happy and be around for a long time. Mm-hmm. So she, wink, wink, starts doing keto.
Yeah.
And then he does it to support her.
Love
it. But drops 100 pounds.
That's right.
It's what a pro move in a relationship.
Can you imagine how good that must have felt?
You don't want your partner to go hiking. You want to go hiking and see if your partner will come with you. You know what I'm saying? Wink, wink.
This wouldn't work on me.
What?
I'd be like, oh, you're doing keto?
Because you're not supportive.
I'm not a supportive guy. This wouldn't work on me at all. Would I like it? I like my size. That's my voice when I'm not on the air.
I like this letter. There's so many places we could go. We didn't even touch on overheard in a doctor's office. I don't think I'd follow that Instagram account.
Do you want to just touch on it? Do you want to?
What?
Do you want
to? I wouldn't follow that account. I don't want to know what. Like things being more liquid or solid in the doctor's
office. Funny, he kind of wrote this like new Instagram account, and then that was kind of not at all the letter. Good for you, Brandon.
A little dip in.
You know what Brandon did right there? Because he's been in a 10-year relationship. He said, hey, why don't we talk about this other thing? And then he was like, good to meet you. And he just shook our hand, and we didn't even do the thing.
All right. Thanks so much, Brandon. Sincerely, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk.
Rory Scovel. If there's ever been a year to make the dads in your life feel loved and appreciated on Father's Day, it's this one. We've got a terrific way for you to do that with StoryWorth, a heartfelt, sentimental gift the whole family can cherish together forever. StoryWorth is an online service that helps dads, grandfathers, fathers-in-laws, and every father figure in your life share stories through thought-provoking questions about their memories and personal thoughts.
It's a fun new way to engage with them, especially if we can't be together in person.
That's right. And every week, StoryWorth emails them a different story prompt, questions you might have never thought to ask, like what is some of the best advice your mother ever gave you? And if you could choose any talents to have, what would they be?
StoryWorth has helped numerous families learn about each other in profound, special ways. There's no shortage of surprises when reading these weekly stories, and they make your family feel close even if you're not together.
That's right.
I know that, like, that's, you know, for somebody who comes from a very close family, and I know you do too as well, like finding any way to be connected and then in the anticipation of hopefully being able to be connected again, this is a great way to do the both of those
things.
And
I think the prompts are such a great way to learn details about each other that you would never, maybe you maybe wouldn't even feel comfortable asking, that you kind of get to ask. After 1 year, Storyworth will compile all of those stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake book that is shipped for free.
So give your dad the most meaningful gift with Storyworth. Get started right away with no shipping required by going to storyworth.com/penpals.
You'll get $10 off your first purchase. That's storyworth.com/penpals for $10 off. If you want to make healthy choices, but life keeps getting in the way, Magic Spoon is here to help. Amazing taste without all the bad stuff.
The way you say it, you know you love it. Magic Spoon cereal has 0 grams of sugar. That's clutch. 13 to 14 grams of protein and only 4 net grams of carbs, plus only 140 calories a serving. It's keto friendly, gluten free, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free.
Magic Spoon's limited flavor birthday cake is still available right now. You can get it in a special 5-pack for a limited time only, so grab it before it's gone.
Or you can always build your own custom bundle with other Magic Spoon flavors, including cocoa, love it, fruity, love it, frosted, I love it, and Rory really loves it, peanut butter, and cinnamon.
I go peanut butter. I go frosted. I go fruity. Those are my top three. I haven't tried birthday cake yet. I bet I would love it. I've done cookies and cream. Yes. I've done the cinnamon. I've tried them all. They're great.
And our pals from the Great White North can get in on this too, because Magic Spoon now ships to Canada.
So go to magicspoon.com/penpals to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try it today.
And be sure to use our promo code PENPALS at checkout and save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout.
Magic Spoon is backed by a 100% happiness guarantee, so if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money, no questions asked.
That's magicspoon.com/penpals and use that code PENPALS to save $5 off.
Pennies and Pallers, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you're not feeling like your normal self, therapy could help you out. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
BetterHelp is not a crisis line and it's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours.
BetterHelp services are made available worldwide, and there's a broad range of expertise that people might not have access to locally.
You can log in anytime and send a message to your counselor, and you'll get a timely and thoughtful response. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you can get the help you need without having to go to a therapist's office.
BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available too.
BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. They have a special offer for Pen Pals listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/penpals.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/penpals for 10% off. Try it today. And we're back, folks. This one's going to be called Back to the Future and Celebrity Sightings.
And we're back to the future and celebrity sightings.
And that's what you're going to get from us. Hello, Dan and Rory.
Ooh. Oh. Double dip today.
I'm a pen E, about 20 episodes away from being a pal-er.
What if when they become a pal-er, they switch?
Yeah.
Like, I was a penny. Now I'm a paler. It's Rory and Dan.
It's Rory and Dan. Now that I'm caught up.
Right.
And finally, I had something to write in about. I was listening to an episode recently where Rory Scorry was talking about wanting to visit the places where Back to the Future was filmed, and it got me thinking. This is probably too long to make it on the pod, but oh well. When I was growing up, my dad ran what is now a state park, Railtown 1897, or what is referred to as the Movie Railroad, mostly because it was in Central California. The surrounding area was more or less timeless / Old West looking, and they ran fully restored historic locomotives. While he was there, he was called upon to play bit parts in whatever was filming, a Pac Bell commercial, kids TV shows, etc., and was often the actual man behind the controls of the steam engines. Whenever they were filming, as I'm sure the two of you are aware, my dad often had to stay on site late into the evening, and so my mom would often come visit him and keep him company. Enter spring of 89, summer of 69 reference.
Batman.
That's not my joke, but it's in there and I like it. That is Batman.
Somewhere, yeah.
My parents had fresh infant baby Sarah, and my dad was on set filming a little movie called Back to the Future Part 3. My mom had brought me to set with her to visit my dad and was spotted by Michael J. Fox. He has a son around my age and asked my mom if he could hold me because he was missing his own baby. Of course, my mom said, yes, if I can take a photo. And so I have a photo of me as an infant being held by Marty. This photo was then sent around to family, and my aunt promptly asked, who's that man holding the baby, which we still tease her about today. These days, it's an interesting tidbit at the bars or during parties, and my friends and I often end up at the same joke. Do you think he remembers me? Which brings me to my question. As celebrities yourselves, thank you for considering that, are there any meets with fans or otherwise that you'll never forget, and what made those encounters unforgettable? I've included the picture of me and my, let's just call him BFF, as well as a screenshot of my dad from the movie. For those well-versed in BTTF, he's the engineer that gets held up by Doc when they steal the train. Feel free to share on Instagram if you'd like. I doubt anyone will be able to stalk me through a baby photo. Thanks for keeping me company while I work and making me giggle to myself at my desk. Love you guys, Sarah. She, her pronouns included. Feel free to use my where name, does, and we did.
Where does Back to the Future 3 fall in terms of locations you'd like to visit for Back to the Future?
You know, I don't know.
I'm sure it's gorgeous.
I'm sure it's great, but I feel like it's just like, all out in the desert.
Was the diner real? Or was it all
No, I think staged. It was all staged. And I do think it's possibly burnt down. I think there was a fire, and I think a lot
but
of the
problematic peeping Tom tree is real.
I think so, yeah.
That's a real place.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gymnasium is like
that's a real place.
Right over here in Hollywood.
It's in Hollywood.
But I think
very
the,
close.
The church right off of
it's the church.
Highland
yep.
is the Huey Lewis scene, right? That gym.
That where gym goes, I don't know, but
it's too loud or whatever.
You know, the Burger King when he the very beginning when he jumps on his skateboard, leaves Doc's place yeah. and there's the Burger King. That's yeah. right there at like Langer's. Where Starburns really? Is like over there in Burbank.
Oh, really?
They shot a lot in Burbank. His house
Doc's
from the movie.
House is over there too, right?
And then Doc's house is towards Pasadena, between okay. Eagle Rock and Pasadena.
Gorgeous house.
It's amazing. And there's people stopping all the time to take pictures like, that's Doc's mansion. But
why would Doc have a mansion?
Because he had all that money and then he blew it all on his experiments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How did he get all the money?
I think he inherited it.
Oh.
That movie is it's just
how
the best.
How old do you think Christopher Lloyd is in that movie?
He's
Oh, second question. Is Christopher Lloyd 72?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know. Well, how I when's look? The last time we played?
Who's
are they 72?
Are they 72, folks?
Wait, you're gonna look?
We have to
wait,
know.
But we gotta guess first.
What do you think?
Wait, Lissa will look for us.
Lissa, you look.
Okay. I think Christopher Lloyd. How old is he? Is he 72? The rules are we both guess a number, right? And it could be 72 if we think they're 72.
I think he's 65.
Oh my God, you're off by 10 years.
I think he's pretty young in Back to the Future.
Christopher Lloyd, that's another guess. How old was he in Back to the Future?
Well, we're going to know. We're about to know.
I think Christopher Lloyd.
Because isn't Michael J. Fox late 20s?
Christopher Lloyd is 76 years old.
I think he is 70.
No, you said 65.
I'm changing it to 70.
One?
He's 71.
I'm asking you.
I don't know. What do we got?
How old is Christopher Lloyd?
He's 82 years old. Wait, does that mean he was 52?
41?
Yeah.
What? He was 47 in Back to the Future. He looked like he was 65 then.
Just think, 7 years from now, you're Doc in Back to the Future. That's the timeline. Good for him.
Marty! Not Doc. Doc!
I love it so much. I've been to the mall, the Twin Pines Mall, yeah. which later becomes the Lone Pine Mall.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to Marty's house.
So wait, this is in Central California. We could go there.
You could go to most of the locations.
But I mean, even the train stuff.
I think so, yeah.
Central Cal.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how
awesome that she's got that photo? Can and we also, talk about, I don't like how he's holding the baby.
Can we talk about his approach to holding
I don't know that he does
a
have a son.
That is like he's going to bowl it. That is how you bowl a baby.
It looks like he's about to bowl the baby, and he's whispering into the ball the like, hit all 10 pins.
Hashtag, don't bowl the baby.
Yeah. And that's just good parenting advice.
Look at him. He looks like he's bowling a baby, and this is his album cover.
Yeah. He looks great.
He does look good.
Here's what I like. He's filming, I think, and I could be way off, but I think that shirt, we're talking early in the movie.
Oh, you think that's wardrobe?
I think that might be wardrobe. Here's the thing. Here's what I've recently learned. Back to the Future to me is a perfect movie. I think it's perfect.
You know what else is?
What?
Like from a storytelling script standpoint too? Mm-hmm. Die Hard.
I think so too. Yeah. I also think so. Back to the Future 2, which I thought I loved, I do think it's a creative story. I don't love a lot of it. And I actually like Back to the Future 3 second best.
Really?
Back to the Future 2 is last place for me.
Back to the Future 2 feels very, and it's like it's by design, but it feels like multiple movies. It feels like very
They shot
long.
Them at the same time.
Two and three.
They shot two and three at the
I
same
know,
time.
I know, but I mean, two just feels very long to me. Like, mm-hmm. And it's because of all the time jumping around. It feels like so many different movies.
It's such a great idea for a story that he goes right back to where he just was mm-hmm. for these purposes. Mm-hmm. And this is how the time, you know, how the timeline has been altered. And I love the fact that he sees the Clint Eastwood movie in two, and that's the move he does at the end of three. Yeah. Like, I love that as a callback.
Planet Payoff.
Yeah. But I, there's, you know, there's so many. You remember the time when Back to the Future 2 came out. There was so much product placement.
Dude, like, I was going to ask you, do you remember the Pizza Hut glasses?
Yes.
That's what I was going to ask you.
And you were like, I got to have all the glasses. I got to have all these things. You thought hoverboards were going to be real.
Every 3 years, somebody was telling me we were going to get hoverboards.
Hoverboards are coming out. And I was like, it is so funny to look back and this is what angers me about how children are treated in this country by institutions.
The way they're held here?
Yes. But by the way, Michael J. Fox holds kids. Knowing how excited and susceptible I was and you were and 100% of our listeners were when they thought hoverboards were coming out.
Yes.
And how you believed that.
I 100% believed it.
And what was the worst thing that came of that manipulation? Basically nothing.
Hope.
Hope that gets destroyed. Right. And then as you get older, you go, it's hoverboards. Now fucking apply institutionalized fucking thinking about so many other things about the history of this country,
right.
Religion,
yeah.
Politics, sure. How you view the pride in your country, how you were raised to think of the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. and what people said, this is what that is and this is who they are. And you just go, the transfer of information that people get behind to fully believe, like people that still think that people choose to be gay. Those are people who still think that, like, that's the type of thinking that you're like, hoverboards are right around the corner. That's who they are. But they have never grown up to go, oh, that's absurd.
You don't think there's any chance we could have hoverboards in 10 years?
You're still holding on.
Don't get me wrong. I love my
gay. I tried to make a huge political statement. You're like, wait, so there's no hoverboards?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my gay family members.
There's no hoverboards.
You don't think, though, at all?
No.
You don't think in 10 years?
You know what? I guess anything is possible. Now I hate my own point that I was trying to make.
No, I get what you're saying. I do agree with you. The problem is I'm also still kind of dumb on hoverboards.
But you're not. You're not
on hoverboards.
Here's the thing. You're not on hoverboards. But it's only because you truly are filled with so much hope. And also because you're smart enough to know there's no harm in hoping that there's hoverboards or that there might be hoverboards.
I just want it so bad. Ron.
Imagine all the other thinking where you're like, I just refuse. I'm not going to, I don't want to change at all. It just.
You're right, though. You could say to some people, like, are you willing to accept this? And they're like, hell no. And you're like, what about hoverboards? We're getting a fucking
hoverboard. Them.
I'm with you on your point. The problem is I also still hope.
I also was like, if there's ever time travel, like I remember seeing Back to the Future 2 and being like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take it home and go back. Like never thinking about how psychologically damaging. This is something we never talk about.
Yeah.
How psychologically damaging time travel would be. Like if you were like, I can go back in time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and you think that's not going to be so disruptive to your brain that you're going to be able to accomplish things.
Right.
If you could go back in time, you're like, I don't know. Like in your brain, you go, I'm going to go do so much fun stuff now that I know things. But truthfully, on day one, you'll probably have a mental breakdown and just cry in a corner.
I don't know. 11/22/63. You don't think that you'd slide right in?
But I think even still, you would just be in such shock.
Yeah.
They'd be like, and you just go, I'm not supposed to be here. My brain is.
Dude, if I imagine seeing Rosemary or Bob Van Kirk in their 20s.
Bobby V?
Yeah. I would lose it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
To like see them like run around, like,
yeah.
I'm getting emotional thinking about it.
I am too. And I've never even met Rosemary.
Oh my God, you'd love her. You'd love her.
But my stance is, I don't know.
you're like, she pushes that master class.
I don't want to take the master class. She pushes too hard, man. Honestly, I probably.
That's what you keep saying. You push too hard, Rose.
Rose,
you push too hard.
Rose, can I tell you something? You push too fucking hard. I don't want to do the master class. She's like, we're in it right now. It's happening right now. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute. I thought I was muted. I gotta tell you what. Don't cook the pasta before it's ready.
Let's not hit before the water's boiling.
I know. Well, she's not my grandmother, and I'm not taking the master class.
Real quick, should we just try to answer this question in a minute or two?
Yeah.
Do you have any fan speed interactions answer. That you're like, oh, I'll never forget that?
I don't think I do either. I don't know. And I don't mean it in the sense that I'm disrespectful or any of that. I think just that there is a Groundhog Day a little bit to what we do. So
sure.
Meaningful interactions. And I do have them. I'm not here to like just go, these are the examples. I have them that I mm-hmm. do remember. They're mm-hmm. There's no world where they're not memorable. But, you know, in terms of one thing that does happen a lot is at the end of shows, you sometimes you hang out and you hang out with sometimes the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And or the local comics and or some of the people who came to the show. Sometimes all of that gets mixed together, but you end up doing that a lot. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean Thursday, Friday, Saturday night in a different city, sometimes every weekend for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so when the experiences are just sort of, you know, conversations and they're just drinks, it all does sort of blend together.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't say that like, you know, from our standpoint, it also blends together for the staff of that comedy club and for those local comics. They're doing that with other comics all the time. It's not special because of us. That's just, that is us invading their social setting. It's not like they invited us and it's special.
Uh-huh.
But I think because it's always that for them and it's always that for us, it's almost just this sort of Groundhog Day that I think we all just kind of enjoy and we just go, hey, when we're around each other, this is great. And I'm thinking specifically of like Madison, Wisconsin and hanging out with that staff going around the corner to the bar that's got the tree the fake tree in it.
And there's John's right around the corner too, I think.
And just hanging out and getting like a slice from that crazy pizza place. Like, but just stuff like that. I mean, I have stuff like that for almost all the places that I've played. One in particular, when I played Go Bananas, and I went and smoked pot afterwards and they like did it where the pot is like cold or something and it goes into a cold frozen glass and you actually just drink the pot because the smoke, based on the temperature of the glass, the smoke just goes right in and it looks like liquid, but you're getting high. Little stuff like that, I remember.
Wow.
An irony to it because it's pot and I should have forgotten.
No, I think it's good. If I have some that I remember, it's usually because something crazy happened that probably wasn't great. Like if it was kind of unmemorable, sure.
Other side of the spectrum.
Yeah, it means it was pretty good.
Yeah, the other end of it. I don't know. I have a lot of, me and Billy Wayne Davis up in Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah.
Scary times.
I love that story.
Yeah.
I mean, look, have I bowled a baby? I don't even remember, but I'm sure.
None of us are Marty McFly and none of us will ever be Marty McFly.
Oh,
But I love this letter because it touches on a lot of things for me. And I don't even know if we answered anything from it. Maybe we did.
No, we did. We were there at the end.
We are, we remember, we will share this picture now that it's been approved.
Yeah, we'll get these. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I got to say, Sarah, thank you very much for this letter. And we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Van Kirk
and Daniel Scoville. It wasn't so long ago.
A podcast network. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.